Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
What has happened? Mike is not here. You do not call me to find out who to play in fantasy football.
And the Bulldog.
That is just not how this works. I don't know anything, nor do I care.
On WGR.
Gallman, save me now. Minshew, yeah, great mustache. There, play him.
Sports Radio 550.
Just tweeting with somebody about Minshew. I think he's maybe good. Like, really, would that surprise you? I mean, do you go with he was a low draft pick and not a top,
Would you thinking he's good surprise me? No.
Would it surprise you if he was, like, top half quarterback in the league?
Yeah. I'm not saying this, like, to say you're an idiot at all.
Well, that's good.
It's more, I mean, well, maybe. But, no, it's more like you talk about Barkley like this. Like, you're not a high pick.
Right.
It's not, you're disadvantaged. And so I think, you have sort of – I was always kind of a sucker for the guy that nobody thought was going to be any good. Tebow, Johnny Manziel, I'm not going to be able to do that in the NFL. Like, oh, come on, bring the guy in. I want to see him. And, we've gotten to see some of that now in the NFL. Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Baker even, the number one overall pick, although that's not looking so great this year. But you've, taken that to a different, a whole different space with the unheralded guys.
I overrate the underrated guys.
Right.
Because
right.
They're underrated.
So that's why I'm answering specifically. You saying that doesn't surprise me. I don't know. I think we're in Daniel Jones. He looks great. No, maybe not. Everything is so quick and it takes a while to really establish whether you're any good. And, I don't know.
Or it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't. Sometimes it doesn't. I mean, sometimes they show up and they can play. And this Minshew went in week one, and he was great. Let's talk to a guy who would know better than either of us. Mike Dempsey joins us now on the Wester Hotline, co-host of Football Diehards, and with the Jaguars, Jaguars Today on Twitter at MD_1010XL. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great. Fantastic.
Great to talk to you, Mike.
Always.
Minshew, what do you think?
For this week for fantasy, or are we just talking about in general or long term or what?
Well, both. We got 20 minutes.
If you didn't hear the conversation we were having, I don't know.
I heard you guys talking about it. Look, I agree. It's that we like to anoint people right off the bat. I mean, you could not have told a Jaguar fan, at least the ones who populate social media, 3 weeks ago that Gardner Minshew was not only going to be the greatest quarterback in the history of football, but, he will deliver your meals to your house for you. He'll do everything. He'll clean your carpets. They just thought he was the greatest thing ever and put him up in the pantheon of the all-time Jaguar greats. And that may be funny to you guys. We got a few that are all-time greats. But look, I think 6 games worth, he showed pretty good consistency there. And that included the game in the opener against Kansas City coming off the bench. And then last week he got shut down. Let's see if that's a trend or not. Did the New Orleans Saints figure something out? They kind of mush rushed him and kept him in the pocket, and he was dealing with a groin and an ankle injury. I think that played a role in it. They covered DJ Chark a little bit differently. They shadowed him with Marshawn Lattimore. They gave safety help over the top. So they gave him some different things that he hadn't seen before. We'll see how he responds this week. I think he'll respond well in the short term because Cincinnati's terrible, and they're going to be without Drake Kirkpatrick, who's not as good as Marshawn Lattimore on his best day. So I do think he'll have a bounce-back game this week. I don't think it's written in stone yet. The next outcome of the next 3 to 4 games before Nick Foles is ready to play is going to determine even who is playing quarterback the rest of this season. So short-term, like him this week in fantasy. Long-term, story's obviously yet to be written.
Okay. It's not a dull team, is it, Jacksonville? There's a lot to talk about with Jacksonville. We had Marone Life here, and there are clips of him this week making the rounds, talking about Ramsey. And I took it I think I'm right here, Mike, from you on Twitter, that you're not impressed with Ramsey and his act.
Oh, hell no. I think he you know, jaked his way out of town. I don't believe for a second that back injury. I think he's a liar, a malingerer, a quitter. I mean, put all those things on him. I think it's what he is. He got his way, so yeah. Maybe he doesn't care. And he'll go tweet you 15 Bible verses about how great he is. But, I think Jalen Ramsey's full of it. I think he's incredibly self-centered. I think Doug Marrone honestly handled this as well as he could because they kind of left him on an island. Nobody from the front office has said a word about Jalen Ramsey. But, no, it's been trust me, I'm sick of talking about him. I don't think it's completely out of the fan base's blood yet, so I'm sure we'll still be dealing with that for a little while. But nobody wants Jared Goff. You know, nobody's anti-Jared Goff. But if Jared Goff were to take a month off so Jalen could have to play with Blake Bortles again, we all just think that would be swell. Yeah.
Now that you said you're sick of talking about it, I have to ask one more question.
No, I'm sick of talking about it on my own show. Happy to do it in Buffalo, though.
Do you know what – forgive me if I should know this. I just don't know that I ever really saw any follow-up on it. What was the genesis of the problem? Was it the blow up on the sidelines? Was it not playing enough man coverage? Like, what happened?
There, so all these things, right? Jalen's a diva, and he's got to be coddled and catered to at all times. And they did basically do that over the years. You know, last year when he was having his first child, the mother of his child was getting ready to go into labor. They let him go in training camp, and we said, well, when will he be back? You know, like a day or two after the birth or what? Oh, whatever. Jalen will let us know when he's ready to return, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, real? That's kind of interesting. I've never heard that approach before. And, you know, you get into this season, he got upset because in the Houston game, they didn't challenge a 3-yard reception to DeAndre Hopkins, which gave Houston a first down. It was a scoreless game. And Jalen is screaming at the sideline to challenge it. They don't. It's up in the air. It's 50-50 whether it would have been overturned anyway. And then he let that affect him on the next several plays. They picked up a few more first downs and ultimately settled for a field goal in what turned out to be a one-point football game. He went and had that blow-up with Marrone on the sideline, and a lot of people thought that that was the genesis of it, but apparently, let's just put it this way, a member of the front office, okay? Everyone assumes it's Tom Coughlin. Don't necessarily assume it's Tom Coughlin, but I have my suspicions how it went down, but somebody in the front office basically read him the riot act after the game. Like, you're not above the team. You don't dictate to the head coach. You can't put your hands on the head coach. Jalen felt disrespected because that's the buzzword of the modern generation. You can't disrespect us. And, ever since then, he's wanted to be traded. He thought he was going to be traded right after the Tennessee game, so he was all on his best behavior. Then he found out it wasn't going to happen right away. So he's been jaking it with a fake back injury, in my opinion, for the last 3 weeks. So that's kind of where we are.
Mike Dempsey, football diehards, Jaguars today. The Bills are a 16.5-point favorite here against Miami, and still not getting to fantasy football, Mike, which we will. But just what are you thinking here when you see the Dolphins and what they are, and then, you know, here is a Bills team with a super easy schedule and a good record. Like, here, it's madness that it's the first time in 27 years they've been favored like this.
Yeah, I think that, hey, look, the Bills are a solid team. No question about it. I respect for how they played this year, but this is all about Miami. Miami is miserable, which shows you how bad Washington is as well, because that was basically the bowl game for the first pick in the draft last week. And, it doesn't surprise me. Look, are you going to cover 17? I don't know. I mean, if you're gambling on it, I guess it matters to you. The Bills are going to win this game comfortably. They're going to be able to dictate their score, whether it's Frank Gore or Devin Singletary, whether it's John Brown and Cole Beasley and Josh Allen, they're all going to have great days. Miami's terrible.
Are you on any of these Bills guys? Like, you have so many rosters, all the best ball drafts you did and everything.
Sure.
Which Bill are you on the most?
This week?
Overall.
Oh, I love Devin Singletary. I mean, I've got a million shares of Devin Singletary this year. In, you know, like roughly, let's call it 70 leagues, I probably have 30 leagues with Devin Singletary. That's right. A high percentage for me, right?
Yep,
so
yep.
Love him. I love Cole Beasley as kind of an inexpensive, high-floor option who should catch, you know, good five passes in any given week. And, you know, like John Brown taking a top off the defense as well. They've all got their reasons. I think Josh Allen is a great start in fantasy this week. I think anybody going up against Miami is particularly. But really, Devin Singletary is a guy that I think has the juice. that if he can stay healthy and get a chance to show that, I mean, you guys have seen a glimpse of it, what he's done on a handful of touches. I'm really excited for his future.
Yeah, I'm pumped that he's back. I mean, we barely got a look at him.
Right.
You know, but it is, it's interesting. You know, you look at, if you just look at the box scores, you might think he never really had a look at being the Bills' number one running back, but he played like 70% of the snaps in the opener. He just only got 7 handoffs in the game, but he was on the field a lot, and it felt to me like he was going to be their running back. And then, you know, he got hurt in the Giant game, and of course hasn't been back since. But like he is someone you must have been familiar with him in college, I'll bet too. Being you know in Florida, he really is someone I'm excited to see get back.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, look, and Frank Gore's not chopped liver, as you guys know, by the way, and wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, I think teams like to do that. I don't think Frank has an axe to grind with Miami to give him an opportunity to play, but it would not surprise me. In fact, it would surprise me if Frank Gore did not score a touchdown against his former team this weekend. But Devin Singletary is obviously the future of the position. In a lot of cases, like in Dynasty and Keeper Leagues, I drafted him with the idea that I'd get not much out of him this year, hoping for more, but that the long-term future is really bright with that guy.
With Mike Dempsey on WGR, I might have 20 leagues, including best ball, 20 to 25.
Okay.
So I'm not your level, but
that's a bigger chunk than most.
That's right. In my circles, people are like, that's a big number, and I love that this happens. Like I know it. But there I'm watching Monday Night Football, and a guy caught a touchdown pass that I've never heard of, and I'm picking him up, and Green Bay's receivers are all hurt, but here is Alan Lazard. Like, this still happens. Maybe you knew who he was. Maybe you don't have this happen to you. But for me, like, wow, it just sort of strikes me that as much as I'm doing with fantasy football, that still happens.
Yeah, look, Lazard's a great story. Obviously, I knew him because he was on the Jaguars practice squad.
Okay.
That's why, you know, so I knew him, and I kind of followed. I actually owned him in a few dynasty leagues going back a year and didn't have the roster space to save him in there, and he became a hot pickup this week. So, you know, look, Jay Kumerow was more the guy who was ahead of him and that Aaron Rodgers has talked up in the past, and he really didn't make much of his opportunity last week, and those guys kept dropping like flies, and Lazard came in. It goes to show you guys, there's probably a guy or two on every roster that in the right circumstance, with the right offense or the right defense, they could be maybe not a star, but a big-time contributor, you know, and a lot of it is just the circumstances you find yourself in. So I'm rooting for him from afar, for sure.
Here that might be Duke Williams.
Yeah, is that right? That's the guy?
Well, he was brought up when Zay Jones expendable. He went in the Tennessee game, which is now 2 weeks ago, caught the touchdown pass to break the tie, win the game. And, you know, he might be – I mean, you know how much politics there is, and the draft status is such a factor, and money. And so some guys just really probably never get that opportunity. And that's the Minshew conversation, too. Like, would he have ever – he could have washed out without ever getting a chance had it not been for the Foles injury.
Oh, absolutely. I got to ask you, is Duke ahead of Robert Foster now on the depth chart in your opinion?
Yes.
It sure seems like it. Yeah, Foster's been really an afterthought, and that was something in the summer I would have not predicted. I thought he would still be a very, very much a factor in their passing game, but he has yet to be.
Different roles.
Yeah.
Look, we all came into the season, by the way, down in Jacksonville, and I'm not going to lie to you. I was scared if they got Foles hurt. I mean, Minshew played the second most snaps of any quarterback in the league in the preseason, right? Which turned out to be a benefit because it helped get him ready. But he led him to 9 points. And people will say, well, he played with backups. Well, who'd he play against,
right?
He played against a bunch of guys who are no longer in professional football. So he didn't exactly light things up. He's not physically imposing, you know. And they raved about how smart he was, how he picked up the offense. Sounded like a typical backup story, and then, like you said, you know, Foles gets hurt on a play where he throws a brilliant touchdown pass himself. Minshew comes in, and look at him go, you know, and you figure, all right, the first time, maybe he caught him by surprise, but then when he strings together, you know, 4 or 5 games of decent quality play, like, maybe they did find something.
Did they have DJ Chark on the field in the preseason with him?
You know, it's interesting you say that, because he did actually, the Jags were one of those teams that benched everybody, right? They put them all in bubble wrap, let's not get anybody hurt. And that meant D.D. Westbrook and Chris Conley were not playing in the preseason. Chark was out there. Now, he'd only be out there for maybe a series or two. And they had no chemistry whatsoever. I mean, if you go back and look, and why would you? But if you did, you'd see, like, the first throw to Chark. Chark is streaking down the hash mark, and Minshew throws an out, and it misses him by 7 yards. And you're like, I don't know who's on the wrong page, but somebody's clearly not on the page with the other guy. Then all of a sudden, D.J. Chark comes in, he catches the touchdown in the first one from Foles, and then he's, like, unstoppable. And until last week, when they basically doubled him everywhere they went, he has been that guy. Chark's looked fantastic. So, but you wouldn't have known it based on the preseason.
We're talking with Mike Dempsey from Football Diehards here on WGR. I know it doesn't really pertain to this week because they played last night, but now Mahomes is out maybe for at least a few weeks, maybe longer. And so what do people I'll just admit, I have Kelce and Hill on my sure. on my team. So should I be panicking? Should I be thinking about not playing either of those guys or what? Like, what do you want to do with the Chiefs guys now that Mahomes is out for a little while?
I think those are the two guys you continue to play, right? And maybe LeSean McCoy if you're in a pinch, in a flex kind of spot. Damian Williams looked terrible last night. You never know who they're going to give the ball to out of the backfield in any given week. But, you know, Kelce, for a quarterback, Matt Moore's been around for a while. He's not going to panic and freak out. He did hit Hill on the touchdown last night, but he's not the deep ball thrower, obviously, that Mahomes is. But, you know, Hill's the best they have. They'll find creative ways to get him the ball. He'll have, you know, run some reverses, things like that, some little wide receiver tunnel screens. And Kelce, you know, should be a quarterback's best friend. Those are two guys I would continue to play. I mean, they're holds right now. You can't trade them for anything close to their value. So I might actually go out there, and if you've got the, you know, resources, try to acquire those players if you don't own them in certain leagues, because it does sound like Mahomes will be back in time for the fantasy playoffs. I'm guessing the next four games he'll miss, plus the bye week. That'll give him a full 5 weeks off, and he'll be back for the home stretch.
You know, that leads me to a point that I wanted to bring up here. It's getting late. What my I consider my biggest weak spot in fantasy just being a little bit too much of a short-term thinker. Like, you have a 5-1 record in your league right now, this is really me talking to myself too, Mike, because I'm bad at this. If you have a 5-1 record, or 6-0 especially, like, you are probably going to the playoffs. And when do you want to start making moves specifically for the playoffs?
It's delicate balance, right? Because one or two injuries and then things are all out of whack. But I don't think there's anything wrong with lining up. I don't try to play that far ahead yet, because you still got to get there. And even at 5-1, things can fall apart depending on how strong your team is. But, for instance, I have Matt Ryan. He's my most owned quarterback, and thank goodness he is, because he is playing on a team with a terrible defense right. that has to throw every week.
It's perfect.
But
yep.
in a lot of those leagues, that's week 9. Okay, it's only week 7. Well, why wait till week 9 when there may be several other teams in need of a quarterback? So I'm looking ahead at least to week 9 right now. And Kirk Cousins, I forget what the matchup is, but he had a matchup that appealed to me.
It might be the Chiefs.
Is that what it is? It might be. So I've been selectively picking him up in some of those Matt Ryan leagues, and, you know, where I've got the space. So I'm not ready to go full on into playoff mode yet. But if you are comfortable, if you're at 5-1, or you get a win this week, and you're at 6-1, and you feel like you're going to be in good position, who cares if you go 12-1 or 11-2 or 10-3? As long as you have the best team starting in week 14, when generally most fantasy playoffs begin. So if you've got the luxury and the roster space to be able to do that, and in general good health with your frontline players, it's never too early to start.
No Alvin Kamara this week, or Jared Cook for that matter. The Saints announced that. It's a tough matchup at Chicago. Maybe this is also kind of a DFS question, I guess. Latavius Murray here this week. Are you interested?
You know, he'll get volume. The price should be right. And you look at it and you say, oh, against the Bears, though, that's not going to be any good. But Josh Jacobs had a really good game against them in London. Now, I'd pick the Bears to win this game going in before it was official that these guys were going to be out, because I figured they'd be limited in some capacity. But I think as more of a flex, as a volume play, he's going to get most of the touches out of the backfield. He had a 42-yard catch and run touchdown called back because of a penalty last week. So he can still pick him up and put him down pretty good. And, you know, a volume play, I think, is a flex this week, low-end running back too. He'll probably most of the owners who have Latavius Murray are going to get him in their lineup this week.
One more quickie, if I can here. I looked at one of my league's projections for this week, and I saw Terry McLaurin, who I like, above Zach Ertz in a PPR. I've got Hooper on that team. Where are you on Ertz right now?
Not as high as I am on Hooper, but it's a little funny, you know, because it, in the past, Wentz has force-fed Ertz the ball, and I don't get the sense he's doing that this year. I think part of that is Goddard's development. Ertz is still there in the pantheon of the top, I don't know, six or seven tight ends that you could roll out and feel like you're going to get a minimum of 12 points in a PPR league, but much rather play Hooper. And, you know, Terry McLaurin, that is a tough San Fran defense, but he is the passing game in Washington. I think, that's tough, but I might lean McLaurin myself with the one exception. I'm a guy who gets to miss most of the day's football because I'm working with the Jags. So if you want to be home Sunday night, put
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your feet up and watching Zach Ertz, I understand that sentiment as well. I'm a slight lean to McLaurin and play Hooper in the tight end spot.
Okay.
Week.
I'm going to have Goddard in one lineup where I have Cook, who's out, and I just keep remembering him break that huge touchdown at Dallas in this matchup last year that was called back. I've got high hopes for Goddard in a sneaky spot there. Very good, Mike. Well, you know, we're fans. Thanks a lot for today.
Likewise, guys. Anytime. Happy to be on.
All right. Mike Dempsey out of Jacksonville on Twitter at MD_1010XL. Who do the odds makers say will carry the ball more Sunday, Gore or Singletary? I have the answer.
Okay.
Do you think this is an easy question?
Yes.
Okay. Well, sorry. Maybe it is. Maybe. Sorry, everyone. He's probably right. 803-0550 to talk Bills Dolphins. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog will have Sal here 5 to 6 for the roundtable. This is WGR.
He gives you some dimensions as a receiving tight end. Yeah, no question. They'd like him to become a factor in what they do. I think they'd like to run the ball. You know, I think they'd like Josh Allen to probably be more settled as a pocket player and only move as a parachute as opposed to let's make scrambling a part of his game. Obviously, there will be design runs depending on field position, field location, down and distance. But I think when all said and done, you know, you'd like to keep working toward Josh being an efficient, effective pocket quarterback.
Greg Cosell on One Bills Live, where he appears regularly. It's the hardest word in the language for me to say. Regularly is really hard for me to say. Did I ever tell you that? Have you noticed that?
Regularly. I can't say I've ever noticed.
I have to really slow down to ever say it.
Regularly.
That was great.
Regularly.
That's not as... That is a little bit...
Regularly.
I'm better
slurry.
Than, I've never thought
I'm
about it.
I'm better than you.
That's true. Twelfth is always the word for me for that. I always feel 12th? Like I'm screwing that up. I hate that word. Yeah. Hate it.
Yeah. Regular... I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Regularly.
I struggle with like.
I hear the show. I know you don't like anything.
Joe wants to save me from a Twitter and email avalanche by pointing out that the record that Hutton set last night is a regular season record. Hasek, of course, had a 70-save shutout in a playoff game against the Devils back in 1994.
How, of course, is that number? Like, percentage of fans that know that was 70 saves.
Ooh.
How, of course, is that number?
It's such a round number that I feel like it's more. If it were 68, I don't think people would be. I don't think I'd be walking around with 68. But 70 saves, like, wow, 70 saves.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. maybe I'm exaggerating to say Avalanche, but like people love to tweak, so I think I would have heard about it if I didn't mention the correction or really.
That correction. Wasn't even a correction.
Right.
No, the default is always regular season right. When it comes to these
but,
records.
I don't know. The fan base is skewing young, so I don't know. People my age, I think we know 70 saves.
I did not know that number until I think this past year when it was the 25th anniversary of it, and there was, like, Greg Wyshynski did a story yes. about it, I think an oral history of it. Like, then I really knew the number, but I didn't know that it was exactly 70 before that. I knew it was four overtimes, and it was probably a huge number, but I didn't know the
right.
number.
Nice. And because we live in 2019, which is amazing and doesn't get enough credit for how amazing it is, I was able to find in like 30 seconds that Darren Puppa had 37 saves in that game in Edmonton. All November right. 1st, 1985, his first game in the league,
yep.
Buffalo 2, Edmonton 0 at the Northlands Coliseum, 37 saves.
Nice, good get. All right.
Yeah. I saw Larry Playfair last night, speaking
oh, wonderful.
Of the 80s
been way
Sabres.
Too long since I've seen him, so good.
Yep. Yeah, we went water skiing together. No, I just ran into him. Where'd you see him? I should tell you. I saw him at a restaurant.
Birthday dinner, right. We
birthday
talked about birthday dinner.
Dinner
last night. You guys ended up going out for your son's birthday, right?
Yeah.
All right.
The prop bets on the Bills skill guys.
Right.
I don't have receivers up. I can get it.
I said it'd be an easy who they think is going to carry. I still think Gore would be the easy answer there.
The line on Gore is 15 carries.
Okay.
And 68 yards.
All right.
Singletary is 12 and a half.
All right.
And 51.
That's pretty close. It's not that easy. That's close. It's pretty close. Closer than I thought it would be. I thought he'd be around 10, maybe. So, whatever. All right.
About the same per carry.
Yeah.
15 for 68, 12 and a half for 51. Allen passing 246 is the number.
All right.
And for him to throw two touchdown passes is a plus bet as opposed to a minus bet.
Right.
Like 100 would win you more than 100 if he threw two touchdown passes in this game.
I wonder if he'll have to throw that much. You well, know, I mean, I wonder if they'll even feel like they need to. Like if they can run the ball well, if Miami is so disadvantaged that you can just safely sort of park the bus for the game kind of and just sort of get away with fine, we're just going to play it safe here. I'm not suggesting this is what I want to watch happen, but I mean, it could happen that they come out running and Miami can't really do much about that. And you get a, you know, an opening touchdown drive that's, you know, 11 plays and 8 of them are runs. And then you do that again. And I don't know, the game might feel like it's over at that point. You know, you get two drives like that. It's like, okay, well, we're certainly not going to start airing it out now. We're ahead by 14. We've done that largely by handing the ball off to our running backs. I guess we'll just keep doing that. Like that would not surprise. So those numbers on Allen are, I think, a little big. I don't know that I would want to go near two touchdowns or two. What did you say? 246 was the yardage. Boy, I don't know. I mean, what's his season high? Season high is probably just a little bit more than that. They got like 250-something in the first two games. That's about where he's been.
254, 253
okay.
in the first two games.
Yeah.
Last year he hit 245 in his first start, and that was his high. So 254 is his career high. You know, like, when did the Bills ever throw two touchdown passes, right? Like, he did last game, the Tennessee game, he threw two touchdown passes. Three against the Dolphins at the end of last season and right. two one other time. So, you know, it's the sort of the history of the Bills here and Allen versus, and the game script, like you said, versus what Miami is. Because that's a double-edged thing. Like, they could also think running the game shortens the game. Running the ball shortens the game, and it's really more of an underdog move.
Right.
The favorite should go get the lead and then
right.
then run the ball.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Well, this is a passing team. The Bills are going to be the Bills. I mean, I'm just convinced of that. They are really single-minded. This coach has got it lined up, and they're not going to adjust because of the fact that they're this huge favorite, I think. They're just going to play their way.
And they have been throwing.
Yes.
Is it fair to say much more than running?
But
yeah.
Yeah,
right.
So. Yeah, they're among the top teams in the league for a pass to run. So it's a very much a welcome change, in my opinion. And I would expect it to work, and their record speaks for itself. The other thing about this game, or another thing about this game real quick, is, of course, it's the biggest point spread of the week, which would tend to make it the most popular pick in Survivor, in Survivor Leagues.
Right.
Like,
well, when does that happen?
The Bills?
Yeah, that the Bills, you know, are
not,
the most
not
popular,
that many times.
Right, the most popular pick in a Survivor. That doesn't happen now.
You have a 10-point line in the Monday night game, Patriots at Jets, and San Francisco, Washington might also be 10. You know, what you want to do with that, I'm not in any of these Survivor Leagues. I'm never in one, but I'm interested in them. You just don't want to be on the team that everyone else is taking, because then, you know, your chances of winning are down. If you end up going out on a game where everybody else is taking the same game, or most people are, that's a mistake. That should just, you want to pivot if you can. And so you have two 10-point lines. If you might have a rule where you can't use a team more than once, so maybe that takes New England out. Maybe not San Francisco, though.
Right. Brendan Keeney, actually, from WBEN down the hall, is in a survivor pool where he was debating between the Bills and Niners. And I advise him, take the Niners, because the Bills have Washington coming up in a couple weeks and then Miami again. I'd rather save the Bills, use them a couple weeks down the line, because even though that spread's only 10, like, come on. Like, that Redskins team's going to beat that defense and score on them. I just don't see it happening.
And my reason would be, like I said, it would be to avoid the masses. Like, you don't want to, that's how you win these things, is to not be on the team where everybody else is is sitting. All right, Rachel's fresh picks coming up. I'll give you a couple of thoughts I have. I mean, you got to listen, because I nailed that Denver pick.
Right.
That was not a fresh pick.
Yeah.
These are special.
Mine was a fresh pick.
And I'll give you one player I love in fantasy this week that's maybe not obvious.
Unsponsored fresh pick.
Unsponsored fresh pick.
I'm just giving this stuff away.
Sal will be here at 5. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog, WGR.
You know, if we truly believe that, you know, we can be who we want to be, well then, you know, men in this situation don't bury their heads and go hide and let everything fall apart. You know, if we want to eventually be a good team, then we'll come together and use this as a, you know, as a springboard to kind of catapult us forward.
That was Joe Flacco, you said?
Yes, Joe Flacco. Hopefully everyone found that meaningful. He's a tough guy to like. I think. Yeah. I just think he's a tough guy to like. I mean, just, I don't know why. Oh no, it's Joe Flacco. He's playing in this game I'm watching tonight, because it's a night game and this is what I do. Oh no. Time for Rachel's fresh picks. Do you like picks or takes more?
What do they want you to call it?
I mix it up. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I haven't gotten the impression that they're super opinionated about whether it's picks or takes.
Did you get any feedback on my version of Rachel's fresh picks from last week?
Just from my mom.
Okay. Good. So she sat home on Sunday and watched like 20 hours of football, because that was my friend. Here's what you should do. Get up Sunday. There's a game at 9:30 and watch football until midnight.
Yes.
There you go. That's it. I'm
not... Where did I watch the... Did I watch the night game? What was the night game? Oh, the Charger game. Yeah. No, that's the game I missed. Yeah. I watched the London game from Disney Springs, the patio bar at Splitsville. That was kind of cool. And then the afternoon at my brother-in-law's Sunday night, we were on the boardwalk. So I was following the game on my phone, but not watching it. I was glad to not be stuck with that game. Pittsburgh Chargers. The Chargers. Ugh. Yeah. Flacco should be their quarterback, because that team is frustrating. All right, so what I've been doing with these is giving you one spread, one over-under or total, and then one fantasy idea. I don't know, like, is this everybody? Because that would scare me, but I love the Jets on Monday night. They're getting 10 from New England.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Bills and the Jets are really close to each other. They're just, their records are way different. And that was a tough game for New England. Their offense has problems. Maybe no Gordon here. I'll take 10 points with the home team. How It's not 2007 where the I realize what this is to say. Like, wow, the Patriots don't impress you because they don't win every game by 40 right. or something. But I just I think that that should be a competitive game with Darnold back. The Jets would really love to see Chris Herndon get back for them, but that hasn't happened yet. As far as the totals go, I would take the under in the game in Tennessee, Chargers-Titans. And if all else is equal, I'd rather be on unders than overs because I think people prefer overs. I bet the stats would show you that more people bet over than under.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers-Titans, is this a little bit obvious? Like 41, 20 to 17 even, which is not a super low-scoring game, 23-17 is like not
– under there.
Yeah, that's right. Under.
Yeah.
20 – do I really have to keep going?
No, you can. We got
it. You get it? 21-20, you don't lose. Like, I just, I would like that. And fantasy, like, this is a guy you probably start. He's not who? He's not DeAndre Hopkins or Julio Jones like that as a receiver. This is a guy that, if you're not starting him, you're probably really good. So, Cooper Kupp, I think, is perfect here. Like, if you play FanDuel or DraftKings, I would be on him. And it's fairly obvious. I mean, the matchup is great at Atlanta. Atlanta is like the fantasy gold this year because they're, Mike Dempsey mentioned it. Their defense is so bad, but they're talented on offense. Like mm-hmm. they're giving you, if your fantasy guys are playing the Falcons, you're probably in great shape. And plus you're the Rams here and they're coming off a game and Kupp too is coming off a game where like there were just no stats, but I would expect him to have a big game, maybe 100 yards in this game against the Falcons. So, you know, for me, I'm usually going with the projections that are not mine. They're just other fantasy outlets' projections and usually not straying from that. But if I'm forced to tell you someone that I would probably move up, it'd be this is a guy I would do that for.
Yeah, all right.
And I do like Goddard. And this is a sort of a bit of a dart throw, but Dallas Goddard for the Eagles in the game in Dallas. I kind of like the over on that game. Expect a high-scoring game there. It's 48.5 Philly at Dallas. When we come back, Sal Capaccio, Bill's Roundtable Hour. Next, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.